put the beers in the freezer. And we're gonna have a good time.
Shut the fuck up.
Come on, have a little class.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting, it can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Road to Stardom Radio.
Welcome, 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 everyone to 60 Road and Road to Stardom Radio, 6 hours video. We're going to have a great show today. Appreciate you joining us. We are going to talk about today. I wanted to talk about people with insecurities when it comes to relationships. That's one of the things I wanted to talk about. Yeah, that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. Because I gotta open the mic up for my co-host, for my host, the other host. I don't call him a co-host. I know, you know, when you got another person rocking with you, you say, oh, that's my co-host. No, it's another host. And I will open your mic in a minute, 6. So, like I said, I want to talk about insecurities when it comes to relationships because I'm going to share a story with y'all and I want y'all's opinion on it. The names in this story will be changed from the real people who this story is about. But I just want to get the female perspective, get a male perspective on the situation. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Get the female perspective, the male perspective. That's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, one of the things we're going to be talking about today. And like I said, so this is the situation. You got John. John and Cindy used to date a long time ago. John and Cindy break up. John meets someone new, and they've been dating, let's say, a year or two, and John and the new girl have a baby that John didn't want to have at all, but with the new person, he forego always saying, I want a kid, to wind up having a kid. When John was with Cindy, John told Cindy he didn't want any kids, right? Like I said, John and Cindy are no longer together, but, you know, when John, you know, John's friends became girlfriends with Cindy. So it's like Cindy's friends, you know, became girlfriends with John. But, you know, people say when you break up, the friend, as my friend, you ain't supposed to communicate with my ex. So if I see the person in the street and they say hello to me, am I not supposed to say hello? Am I supposed to be looking at them and be like, oh, well, I'm not going to say hello to them because he used to date a friend of mine. I'm going to be polite and say hello. I ain't going to have a full-out on conversation, but I will say hello. That's just me. So like I said, John and Cindy broke up a long time ago. John's in a new relationship. And, you know, John's best friend, that, you know, that type like brothers. So, you know, any events that they're, you know, that he's having, he's going to, of course, invite John and his, and the new girlfriend. And being, like I said, the friends with Cindy, you don't just, for me, I don't think if you were tight friends with your best friend's ex, if you still cool with them and you invite them to functions, and your best friend don't have a problem with it, it's all good, right? So, I want your opinion. Oops. Let me get back into the story. But I'm trying to, this damn computer. So, in this scenario, in this story, rather, like I said, John's in a new relationship. Best friend invites him to a function they're having. But best friend is getting married. He's the best man at the wedding. The ex is also invited. Like I said, they are friends. So the ex was invited. She came. What's crazy is at the wedding, another ex that John dated when he was in, what, like high school? Well, him and the ex dated when they were in high school, broke up, went their separate ways. He went to college. She went to college. He met someone else. They started messing up. You know, they started dating. They broke up. You know, John got back with Cindy. And they dated for a while. And she was like, you know, my clock is ticking. I want to have children. John said, no, he didn't want to have children. He was adamant about not having children. You know, his friends, his best friends, they got children, but he didn't want no children. So they break up, whatever. John and Cindy break up. Now, best friend getting married, he's the best man. In this time before the wedding, he meets someone. They date for about a year or two before the wedding even happens. She hovers along. At the wedding, weddings have rehearsal dinners. You know, so at the rehearsal dinner, one of the exes acts up while the new girl is there, because at the rehearsal dinner, it was only supposed to be the people who were a part of the wedding at the rehearsal dinner, but because this is his woman, they said, okay, she could be there at the rehearsal dinner. A former ex acts up and messes with him while at the rehearsal dinner. Now, so, and mind you, the best friend's bride-to-be is pregnant, as well as the John's new girlfriend. I have to put that in there. So they have a baby shower, and the ex that he just recently broke up with before he got with the new girl, she's there at the baby shower. She's drunk and starts calling the new girlfriend, the baby mama. Right? So that happens, time elapsed. You know, So the ex Cindy calls John and was like, I'm sorry to hear about your mom, because John's mom had to move. And, you know, she's calling, you know, to show respect because she was close with the family when her and John were dating. She gives her, so now she finds, the new girl finds out, and all this other stuff that went down pushed her to her limit, to where she's calling the best friend's woman, hit John's best friend's woman, with his wife. She's calling her and saying, well, the chicks don't know how to respect my boundaries. I will no longer be attending any functions that you haven't. And it was 2 weekends ago, they had a christening for the baby and a reception afterwards. She said she wasn't going to show up to any function, the new girl, and she wound up showing up to the function with John. And after that, she, like, on her social media page, she then deleted everybody from her social media page. And everybody's, like, people who's not in the mess is like, why am I being deleted? I have nothing to do with it. And it's like, it's crazy. It's like, I get it. They were wrong for what they did previous. You have a right to be mad, but this is why I wanted to talk about insecurity. You're showing your insecurity, one, because I guess when Cindy called to say, sorry to hear about your mom, that's the straw that broke the camel's back. So, but what the new girl needs to understand is that, one, Cindy don't want him anymore. You and him are building a life together. Y'all got a house together. Y'all had a baby together. You got more than what Cindy got when she was with him. Because when she kept saying she wanted a baby, he kept saying no, he didn't. So you got more than what Cindy got out of the relationship. So, yeah, you have a right to be mad because of what they did in front of your face. Like, that's being disrespectful to you in your face. I get that. But when you think of it, if you think of it like a sweepstakes, right, you won the grand prize. Cindy didn't win the grand prize, you did. You got him, you got a baby, and you got a house. All Cindy had was him until she started putting it on him that she wanted a child. And knowing that he didn't want that, I guess he said, you know what? I can't give you what you need. I don't want to have kids. I know that's something that you want. And maybe they broke up amicably, because usually, you know, most breakups, you hearing stories, and, you know, the ex is always cursing out the other ex, vice versa. They're cursing each other out. They don't get along no more. You know, but it wasn't like that between them two. And, you know, her calling and, you know, asking about his mom, saying, let me pray for you and all this stuff. You know, That was the straw that broke the camel's back. But when you are a woman in a new relationship and your man still communicates with his ex, even if he does or doesn't have children with that person, you should not be letting your insecurity show because you won. He's with you. He's got children with you because, you know, you might have more than one child with this person. He has children with you. He's building a life with you. He's not even thinking about her. It's just that she called because of a family situation. And she, you know, like, if a family member passes away and the ex is calling to give condolences, you as the new person in the new mate shouldn't be mad at that. Like, if an ex of mine called me to say condolences to her about you losing your mom, if my man, I don't have a man, but if I had a man, if he got mad at that, I'd be like, why are you mad? All he's doing is giving condolences. You mad at that? You have to understand, when you're in a new relationship, you as the woman or man should not be worrying about the person who's now in their past. You should not be worrying about the ex, even if they still communicate, because some might have children with them, so they have to communicate. But you should not be in your feelings when you have the man. You have the life that Cindy wanted with this man, and you the one showing your insecurities and stuff like that. If you keep acting like that, you're going to push him away. And all he's going to be to you is, as they say, your baby daddy. He's not going to be your man. He's going to be the father of your child, and that's it, if you keep acting this way. So, six, you've heard the story. In a man's perspective, what is your take on that?
Well, I guess it's like this. If he didn't want to have a baby, okay, they should respect that. But if you're in a relationship, take care of the baby. Take care of the baby, and whoever they dated before, it don't matter. That's old news.
So
that's what people.
I'm gonna re-explain it, that part to you. So the ex that he's no longer with wanted a baby, but he didn't, and that's why they kind of the reason why they broke up. Now that he got with the new girl, he don't wind up having a baby. And what I'm saying is, and when you think of it, the new girlfriend won. Because the old girlfriend wanted what she got, which is a baby. He done got a house. He done brought a house. You and him brought a house together. So technically you won. If this was like the lotto, you won. You won the grand prize of the lotto. She didn't win. You understand what I'm saying? The girl before her, the new girl, wanted kids, and he didn't. And he kept saying that. I don't want children. But when you're a person who wants children, and a person keeps telling you they don't want children, you're not going to stay in that relationship knowing this person don't want children. You may think they're going to change their mind, but sometimes they don't. And I'm sure when she found out, when the ex found out he was having a baby, I'm sure she was like, the ex was probably thinking to herself, was it me? Is the reason why he didn't want to have kids with me? Because you think, as a woman, you start thinking that when a person you've been with for a lot of years and you have the discussion of having kids, and they say they don't want it, they don't want kids, and you know you want kids, you're not going to stay in a relationship. But then when you hear, are they getting this new relationship and have kids and have a child with the new person, you as the ex, you say to yourself, maybe it was me. Maybe he just don't want kids with me. I don't think he want kids, period, but sometimes things just it happens that we didn't. Sometimes things like this happen when you didn't even plan for it, because I'm sure he didn't plan for it. It just happened. So, in my opinion, she won. The new girl won. In this situation, the new girl won. And what's crazy is now you're distancing yourself from his friends that he are tight with, like brothers. You're distancing yourself from them. So now when there's functions that he's being invited to, they're not gonna want you around. But they have to tolerate it because that's his woman. To me, you know, there's a lot of women out there with insecurities. Because they've been hurt, they assume the new man they get was going to do the same thing that the last man did. And so they take it out on the new man. And they see one little sign that he's starting to act like the ex. The person that hurt them, they take it out. And my thing is, if she don't get it together, she gonna wind up losing him, and he ain't gonna be her man anymore. He's just gonna be her baby daddy, the father of her child. That's it. So you have any more? You got any more things you want to say? Because the next thing we're going to talk about, you know, when we talk about these, now, this next story that I'm going to share with y'all, because I don't think Six has any more he wants to say. If he does, he can. But I want to pull it. I want to pull up. I'm going to pull up the next thing we're going to talk about. There's a video clip. And I saved it on Instagram, and I need to pull it up. But, Six, you're not going to like this story. So, this man told, I need to pull up the story. I think you'll get a better understanding when I pull up the story. Man, I think they say he was 40, was giving his mother money just so he could be with her daughter sexually. This man was giving his mother money. And Six, guess how old the daughter was? The mother was, you could say, basically pimping out her daughter. But guess how old the mother was? I mean, the daughter. Guess how old the daughter was? You there, Six? Okay, Six must have stepped away. But I'm going to tell y'all, the girl in this situation, is only 5 years old. So this 40-year-old man, was having the mother, okay, he was paying the mother money so he can be with her 5-year-old. And in this situation, this man wound up strangling that damn 5-year-old. I saved the video, so I'm trying to pull it up through my Instagram so y'all could. So here we go. Here it is. This is a sound bite so I can get the gist of what I'm talking about. You click on it so I can bring it up. Okay, where's the sound? I'm not hearing the sound. Well, the video is not playing, but I'll read it. It says, in December of 2021, Jeremy Williams, 40, was arrested in Alabama and charged with capital murder in connection with the disappearance and death of Kamari Holland. Reports from WSB indicate that police revealed Holland's mother, Chrissy Sipple, allegedly trafficked her daughter to Williams for money. Prosecutors stated that Williams coerced the child into performing sexual acts before ultimately strangling her. It says, recently Williams pleaded guilty for 4 counts of capital murder, obstruction of a corpse, knowingly recording the acts, rape and sodomy. Sybil also pleaded guilty to human sex trafficking. Williams was subsequently sentenced to the death penalty on Monday with no execution date announced as of yet. So this man has been sentenced to the death penalty, in Alabama. The little girl was only 5 years old. This mother was sex trafficking her daughter to this man for money. So in the video, they show you when he's at court. And I guess he was getting his sentence. Right? I guess he was getting his sentence. Father was there at the court, and the father said something afterwards. But let me unmute it because you won't be able to hear it. Okay, I don't know why I didn't unmute. Okay.
Jeremy Williams, after learning his fate, death. This is a motion with the 40-year-old Jeremy Williams, after learning his fate, death.
He showed no emotion. No emotion. Man showed no emotion. And the mother pled guilty as well for sex trafficking her daughter, who was 5 years old. 5 years old.
Vulgar possession as a mother. This is what they say. Some people shouldn't be parents. And she's a prime example. Or why we say that phrase. Some people shouldn't be parents. I don't care if he said, I'm going to give you $1 billion. You do not pass your daughter off to a 40-year-old man. She's only 5. There's nothing. What? There's no enjoyment in having sex with a 5-year-old, and then afterwards he strangled the little girl. And then the father, when the father spoke, said, "I'm glad he got the death penalty," said there was other victims. Besides his daughter, there were other victims. And we don't know what age range his other victims are. But for you as a mother, because someone is offering you money to say, "Here, take my child. Do whatever you want with my child," then you keep giving me the money. She don't deserve the death penalty like he does, but she do deserve some kids. I hope she doesn't have other kids. I hope she doesn't have other kids. She do not come with their father. Because she's going to jail, and she's going to jail for a long time. She's not going to get the death penalty like this man did, but she's going to serve, they're going to make sure she serve a lot of years for what she did. You sex trafficking your own child for some money? You don't have much money in the world for me to do something like that. And if a man came to me like that, talking about, I don't have kids, but if I had a child, and a man came to me talking about, "I'll give you X amount of dollars to have sex with your child," you know what the first thing I'm going to do is go to the police and file a report. Let the police know that this man just propositioned me to have sex with my child. Your mother got to be on some type of drug, but how do they agree to that? With a 5-year-old? He's 40? There's nothing that little girl could do for you at 40 sexually. She don't even know what giving oral is. She don't know what having sex is. At 5 years old, she don't know none of that. But you took her innocence away from her, and then you took her life. Sitting back and went. They don't know all about the death penalty in jail, even though that's what he got. They ain't got to worry about it, because once they find out what he's in here for, they are going to beat his ass in jail. Yes, they are going to beat him down in jail, and, you know, there might be other people there that's there on death row just like him, but not for the same crime, and just, "I'm already in here for life." Somebody's going to kill him in jail. When they find out what he did, they're going to kill him in jail. So, y'all better keep him in solitary, because they find him, they're going to kill him. And the person who's going to do it is going to be somebody who's already serving life, a long sentence in jail. Yep. But as a parent, I would want to kill him. I'm sure the father wanted to kill him, but I know that the justice system handle it, because then you're going to wind up being in jail along with him. And we don't want that. He might have other kids he needs to take care of. A 5-year-old? And now, you know, he already been sentenced to the death penalty, but I wonder if he had any lawyers, because you know we got these lawyers who are going to say, "Oh, it's a mental illness. He has a mental illness. That's why he did what he did." Okay, we go with that route, that he has a mental illness. That's why he did what he did. But what's the mother's excuse for passing her 5-year-old over to him for some money? What is her excuse? On drugs,
They say she got mental problems too. So I know, who knows, I'm sure Henderson is coming up for her for how many years she was coming to jail. And her lawyer was going to say she got mental issues too. That's why she get. No, he said, I will give you money if you let me be with your 5-year-old. And she kept taking her 5-year-old over there knowing what this man was doing to her 5-year-old. This mother had to be in some type of drug. So the next big man touched her 5-year-old. That's true. That story? The type of family I come from, we don't play that. That man would have got beat down. He would have got beat down so bad. I know they say don't take the law in your own hands. But if the family I got, oh, he would have got, oh. Remember how Martin looked when he fought Tommy Hearns? That's what I'm not understanding. Why? Yeah, he's telling you, oh, I'll give you $1,000, and you cash it for $1,000. Whatever the money amount, there's no money amount. That would make me be like, here, you can have my child. No, there is no money amount. Now, what if it wasn't a little girl? What if it was a little boy? And they're like, okay, you beat this man up to a pulp. Why? All right, they were like, we're going to clear our minds from this story right here. I'm pissed because I could be my niece, could be anybody's niece, for that to let that happen. Like I said, ain't that much money in the world for me to let that happen to my niece. I had to tell my own child. Not that much money in the world. Right back. Thank you.
time. Diamond in the back, sunroof top, big in the scene with gangsta lean.
All right, we are back in Arizona. And spell the name O-R-G-O-N-E. But when you see their name, it has the...
From the 80s. I like that. I like it. I love it.
So when you see their name, how it's spelled, it's O-R-G-O-N-E.
I said, I love it.
But over the O, it's like a sim, like two dots. So it's like it's a foreign name, but... how you would say it is Oregon. Not Oregon like the state, Oregon. And so they redid Curtis Mayfield's song. So you say to yourself, I heard this before, I know this song. Yes, because it's originally done by Curtis Mayfield. This thing popped up on my YouTube, and I listened to it, and yep. It popped up on my YouTube. I listened to it. I said, oh, I really like this song. So I said, I had to play it for y'all. You know. And this group has been together since 1999. But, like I said, when this popped up on my YouTube, it was the first time I ever heard about them. But the take on Curtis Mayfield? Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with a gangsta name. Yep, the take on Curtis Mayfield. Not so many people can do a Curtis Mayfield song now. There's a lot of old school classic R&B artists that not a lot of people could do justice to their music. They did a good job. I think it's a band, and it's two male singers and a female singer. Yep. And with the name is a foreign name, but they're not from a foreign country. They're from the United States. That's the crazy thing. You would think, oh, it's a foreign name, so they got to be from a foreign country. Nope. They're from right here in the United States. If I'm not mistaken, I think I read about them, I think, in California. They're somewhere in California. You know, they consider themselves an R&B group. Yep. Like I said, when this song popped up on my YouTube, I listened to it for the first time. I was like, oh, I like this. So ever since then, I kept playing it through my YouTube, Because I'm a music connoisseur. I love music. So whenever I hear good music, I'm going to keep on listening to it. I thought it was new, but then when I looked at the video, it was like, oh, this video was 3 years ago. They dropped this song in 2020. I think they dropped the song in 2020, but the video I don't think came out till 2021, or to be 3 years ago. But I'm like, ooh, I like this song. Let me see what other songs. They got some other songs. But this one tops it for me, you know. Like I said, not too many people can redo a classic like that and do it justice. We've heard artists do over classics and you be like, they should have never did that song. They should have never did that song. So, Six, what you think of that song? Six, what you think of that song?
Heartthrob from the 80s. I like it.
That was a nice song, bro. That was a nice song. But I want to hear Princess Reveille.
Ooh-wee!
Dick and Roll, baby. And it's not broadcasting on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So apparently you want to do Six and Road just on Road to Stardom Radio.
No, I'm
it
on both
cool.
stations.
I'll find something to do. No,
no,
we're not.
I am on my phone.
I bet you $100 we're not. I bet you $100 we're not. The music
Dude,
is playing on my side.
I am on my phone.
It's not on. Damn it.
On the laptop, I'm on my phone. And it is showing because on your side, someone was on the board. We have 50 minutes left on your side as well as my side. So the show is on your side. So the song you want to hear is just sung by Princess Reze. Yeah, you have to. When we take another music break, I will play that song for you. But before I play that song, did you hear the story I was talking about? Before I played that song, did you hear the story I was talking about? Six.
I'm up here talking with Will. Read the story again, please. I'm sorry.
So there's a 40-year-old man out of Alabama who was paying a mother money so that he could be with her 5-year-old sexually.
That is sick. I don't want to hear it no more. That sick son of a bitch. I don't want to hear it no more.
So I'm going to give you the ending to the story. He went to jail. He just got sentenced yesterday. He got the death penalty. The father said, I'm glad, the father of the 5-year-old said, I'm glad my daughter got justice. But the father also mentioned that there were other victims. But when reading the story, it didn't mention other victims. It just mentioned the 5-year-old. So the mother was sex trafficking her daughter to this 40-year-old for her money. And then the story didn't say if she was on drugs or not, but she was taking her 5-year-old to this man for some money so he could have his way with a 5-year-old. And after he had his way with the 5-year-old, he strangled the 5-year-old and killed the 5-year-old. And if there are other victims, they all got there. Even though they didn't get to take him to court to get their justice, but they got their justice because he's getting the death penalty. They didn't have no date of when he's gonna get his lethal injection or whatever how they do it in Alabama. So you don't know when he's going to get the lethal injection or if he's going to get an electric chair, whichever way they do it in Alabama. So that was the story before I played the song. I was like, I can't talk about this anymore. I got to play this song. So I played that song to clear the minds. But, you know, I'm like, as a parent, I don't care if he was a billionaire. There's no amount of money that will make you take your child over to this man so he can have his way with your child, and she's only 5. You understand what I'm saying? She's only 5. And we do a lot of stories about pedophilia and all of that, and it's like, you know, it's crazy, this work. It's crazy. You know, it's crazy. But you know, it's getting that time. You know, it's getting close to that time, 6. For the trivia. Yep. And you know, every week we are on air on 6 and Roll. Towards the end, we do trivia. And 6 answers the question. Yeah, sometimes 6 do good, sometimes 6 don't. So,
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
So, but before we get to the trivia song, there was something else I wanted to talk about. And for
Jimmy Walker is looking for a wife. Jimmy Walker, famed J.J. Evans of Good Times, is looking for a wife. Any of you women want to marry him? Let me know.
No, you know how old J.J. J.J. is, like in his 70s. Nobody wants a 70-year-old. Nobody wants.
J.J. looks like he's 32 years old. J.J. looks like he's 32 years old. Dynamite!
No, he does not. No, he does not. You need to stop telling them lies to the people. No, he does not.
He's a good friend of mine. Leave Jimmy Walker alone.
I'm just saying he doesn't look like he's 32. Stop lying to the people. Oh, so speaking of, since you mentioned Good Times, has done a reboot of Good Times as an animation. So they rebooted Good Times as an animation cartoon. As much as I like Good Times, I'm not interested in watching the cartoon. Because it doesn't follow the exact format as Good Times itself. It doesn't follow that format. They put a spin on it, and I'm not interested in wanting to watch it. But knowing. I already know somebody in the house is going to watch it, and I'm going to be sitting there, you know, because we watch it, you know, we watch TV as a family in the living room. I know somebody's going to put it on, and we're going to be sitting there watching it, even though I don't have a desire to want to watch it. If they would have did a reboot of it and just like it is in animation, like how the original is in animation form, that would have been good. Because at least we can get a continue, you know, where that show actually left off, can get a continuation of that. You understand what I'm saying? Thelma's married to Keith. The mother remarries and stuff like that. We can continue on from where they left off the last episode. That would have been good. If they was going to reboot, we could have did a continue in animation form, continue where the actual show left off. I think they did it that way. And there's one of the people backing the show, Curry is backing the show. I think he's one of the producers on the show. I don't know if he's using his voice on the show, but the advertisement shows his picture. So he's either using his voice for the show or he's an executive producer on the show. And I think Norman Lear has something to do with it as well. But I'm not really interested. But I know at some point I'm going to wind up seeing it. Let's see how it does on Netflix and if Netflix is going to renew it for another season. So let's get this song on so we can get this trivia going. Here go your song, Six.
Girl on your mind, yeah.
Yep. That is Six's favorite song right there, Princess Frise. She's an artist from across the pond. Now we're going to get into this trivia and see how good Six does. And let me pull up the first question. Okay, just give me a minute, y'all. Let me pull it up. No. Here we go. Now here's the first question. You ready, Six? I don't want to go scroll down for me. Okay.
Let's go! Let's go! I'm about to get all these
first question.
Right, about to get all of them. About to get all of them right.
Okay.
Yep. Some bread? Yeah, right up there on top of the refrigerator.
The This is a movie question. This is a movie question. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck appear as uncredited somewhere part extras in what movie? Was it Fever Pitch, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own? Matt Damon and Ben Affleck appear as uncredited Fenway Park extras in what movie? Fever Pitch, Bull Durham, Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own.
A league of their own. Let's go.
Now, Six is saying A League of Their Own. Early in their careers, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon appeared as unpaid extras in the 1989 classic film Field of Dreams, starring Kevin Costner and James Earl Jones. There were literally thousands of other extras in the crowd at Fenway Park, so it's unlikely that you would have been able to spot them. Even though they didn't have any lines in the movie, they had the opportunity to meet Kevin Costner and visit Fenway Park years later. Damon and Affleck got their big break when they wrote and starred in the Academy Award-winning film Good Will Hunting. Okay. So you're 0-1. You're 0-1.
That's all right. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay.
I didn't want to have too much thought on it.
Okay. Next question.
Let's go.
Here's the next question.
It's still hot, ain't it? Mm-hmm. Why ain't you warming up?
It's cool. It's not room temperature. It's not hot. It's just warm.
Okay.
Okay, here's the next question.
What are you doing? Drop it.
Let's
go.
What hotel chain was originally a line of root beer stands? What hotel chain was originally a line of root beer stands? Was it Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton, Four Seasons? What hotel chain was originally a line of root beer stands? Hyatt, Marriott, Hilton, Four Seasons. What's your answer, Six? What is your answer, Six?
The second about, one.
So you're saying it's the Marriott. Okay, he's going with the Marriott, y'all. Correct. So you're one for one.
Let's go.
The renowned hotel chain Marriott, one of the world's largest and most recognizable hotel brands, had surprisingly humble beginnings as a line of room bandstands in 1927. Jay Willard Marriott and his wife Alice opened an A&W room bandstand in Washington, D.C. Soon, they added food to the franchise menu. And we named it Hot Shop. Hot Shops. Opening more locations within a few years. For 30 more years, Hot Shops was successful until the Marriott's made a pivotal decision in 1957 to transition into the hotel business, opening the world's first motor hotel in Arlington, Virginia.
Let's go.
One for one. So you're one for one. You're one for one. Okay. Next, here's the third one. Who is considered the founder of Earth Day? Who is considered the founder of Earth Day? Is it Al Gore, Jimmy Carter, Leonardo DiCaprio, Gaylord Nelson? Who is considered the founder of Earth Day?
Gaylord Nelson. Let's go. Let's go.
Correct. You're
Let's
two for
go.
One. You're two for one. It says Happy Earth Day. Earth Day is celebrated on April 22nd, where events worldwide are held to demonstrate support for environmental protection. Senator Gaylord Nelson is the founder of Earth Day. Earth Day was first observed on April 22nd, 1970, when an estimated 20 million people nationwide attended the inaugural event. Senator Nelson promoted Earth Day, calling upon students to fight for environmental causes and oppose environmental degradation. Nelson was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom Award in recognition of his work. Okay.
Let's go. Let's go. Six and roll, baby.
And the heartthrob.
All right.
Go.
Here's question number four. In a rare example of a word that rhymes with orange, the word borange is a what? In a rare example of a word that rhymes with orange, the word blorange is a what? River in Scotland, mountain in Wales, desert in Egypt, forest in Costa Rica. So blorange is spelled B-L-O-R-E-N-G-E. So is it a river in Scotland, a mountain in Wales, a desert in Egypt, a forest in Costa Rica?
In Costa Rica. Let's go. Let's go.
Well, you're two for two.
Let's go.
You're two for two.
The word orange is infamous in English for being particularly difficult to rhyme with. In fact, some say that there are no words that rhyme with orange. Well, that's not necessarily true. There are actually two words that rhyme with the word orange, which is apparently a plant that produces spores, and the word blonde, which is a mountain in Wales. This prominent mountain overlooks the valley of the River Usk near Abergavenny.
Okay.
Let's go. So Southeast Wales. It is situated in the southeastern corner of the Brecon Beacons National Park, with the summit plateau reaching a height of 1,841 feet.
Let's go.
So you're 2-2. Okay, here's the next one. Who was known as the conductor of the Underground Railroad? Who was known as the conductor of the Underground Railroad? Was it John Brown, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Beecher Stowe? Who was known as the conductor of the Underground Railroad? Was it John Brown, Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Harriet Beecher Stowe? What's your answer, Six?
Harriet, tell me, baby. Let's go.
The answer is... That is correct. It is Harriet Tubman.
Go!
As Harriet Tubman was a Peruvian abolitionist and humanitarian who dedicated her life to the fight against slavery. Born into slavery herself, Harriet escaped to freedom in 1849 and subsequently became one of the most prominent leaders of the Underground Railroad. Clandestine network of safe houses and routes that helped enslaved individuals escape to free states and Canada. Tubman's remarkable effort earned her the nickname Conductor of the Underground Railroad, as she led others to freedom, often risking her own life in the process. Okay. So you're 3-2.
Let's go. Six and road, baby. Every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, and 5 Pacific. Six and road. Let's go.
Okay, here's the next question. Which famous landmark has acted as a prison? Which famous landmark has acted as a prison, records, office, and zoo? Is it Alcatraz, Taj Mahal, Tower of London, Versailles Palace?
Say that
which
one more
famous
time.
Famous landmark acted as a prison and records office and zoo? Is it Alcatraz, Taj Mahal, Tower of London, Versailles Palace?
Alcatraz, let's go! Let's go! Let's go.
You are 3-3. The answer is, though originally built as a fortress for the city of London, the Tower of London was later used to house Prune rooms, store workers, and even acted as a zoo. In the 1200s, Henry III began using the tower for his collection of exotic animals that were often gifted to him by other royals, lions, elephants, and even popular bears roamed within its walls from the 13th century until 1835. The tower gained infamy as the nation's foremost state prison, which its dungeons harboring political prisoners, traitors, and perceived enemies of the crown. So six is three for three.
Let's go. Only missed three. Let's go.
Here's the next one.
And anybody want to challenge me, you can call 424-243-9617 and challenge me.
What is the name of the fruit commonly known as a star fruit because of its shape? What is the name of the fruit commonly known as star fruit because of its shape? Is it guava? Is it Carambola, durian, or kumquat? What is the name of the fruit commonly known as star fruit because of its shape? Is it guava, carambola, durian, or kumquat?
Cardoya. Let's go. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but Cardora. Let's go.
Okay, Chassis.
Go. Let's go.
Caught it.
Roll, baby.
Caught it. So you're four.
Let's go.
You're four for three. There's Cara.
Let's go.
Carambola, also known as star fruit, is a tropical fruit packed with nutrients and minerals originating from tropical regions, particularly Southeast Asia. It's earned its moniker from its unique appearance, resembling a five-pointed star with one slice crosswise. Typically measuring between 3 to 6 inches in length, its succulent yellow flesh offers a crisp texture and a pleasantly tart flavor profile. Popular in a number of dishes, where it is also often made into relishes, preserves, and juice drinks. So I get four for three.
Let's go. I got that one right. Hello?
Here's the next one.
I got that last one right.
The term El Loro, I can't even say the damn name, A-I-L-U-R-O-P-H-I-L-E, El Loro file, I guess that's how you say it, was best defined which of these people: bird watcher, cat lady, horse whisperer, butterfly collector. The term aerophile would be best defined of which of these people: bird watcher,
cat lady. Let's go. Let's go, cat lady. Let's go. Let's go.
Okay, correct. So you're five.
Let's
for three.
Go. I got a son. That's a cat. Let's go. Trumpet.
Says aerophile is a person who loves cats. This term evokes the imaginary of the quintessential cat lady, conjuring an image of a woman whose life revolves around a feline companion. However, you don't have to be a crazy old cat lady to be an aerophile. Whether it's through caring for their furry companions or reveling in the presence of cats in art, literature, or media, aerophiles have an affinity for all things feline. The etymology of the word comes from a combination of the Greek word aleros and feline. Okay. So you're five. You're 5-3. Here's the next one. Which lawyer and U.S. consumer advocate has been a U.S. presidential candidate 4 times? Which lawyer and consumer advocate has been a U.S. presidential candidate 4 times? Is it Rob Nader, Steve Forbes, Ross Perot, George Wallace? There was a presidential candidate 4 times. What's your answer, Six?
The third one.
You going with Ross Perot?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Okay. And
let's go.
So you're 5-4. The answer is Ralph Nader.
Let's go.
Ralph Nader is a consumer advocate, environmentalist, and political activist. He is perhaps best recognized for his multiple bids for the presidency despite never securing the presidency. His relentless commitment to social justice and his unwavering advocacy for the common citizens have solidified his place in political history. Nader's 4 presidential campaigns spanning from 1996 to 2008 were marked by his stance against corporate influence in politics, his calls for greater governmental transparency, and his support of progressive policies. So you're 5-4.
Let's go. Let's go.
Here we go. Here's the next one. In 2006, Wayne Shiner sold which item on eBay for $25,000? In 2006, Wayne Shiner sold which item on eBay for $25,000? Is it kidney stone, having a French toast, fingernail clippings, a grilled cheese sandwich?
Read that question one more time. You said William Shatner?
In 2006, William Shatner sold which item on eBay for $25,000? Kidney stone, half-eaten French toast, fingernail clippings, a grilled cheese sandwich.
It wasn't fingernail or toenail clippers. It was kidney stones.
Don't we ask the Alexa Siri to help you?
No. Everybody remembers that because they said, how can they sell kidney stones? Because they're supposed to be dissolved with medicine. So everybody trying to figure out how he did that. I remember that because they talked about that on Good Morning America.
Okay, so you are 6-4. Says kidney stones are pretty disgusting, but that didn't stop a determined buyer from purchasing the kidney stone of famed actor William Shatner. In an unconventional move back in 2006, Shatner offered his kidney stone on eBay and donated the proceeds to the housing charity Habitat for Humanity. Remarkably, Shatner's kidney stone fetched an astonishing $25,000. The winning bidder was goldenpalace.com.
an online casino known for its eccentric acquisitions. This was the same casino that had previously paid $28,000 on a half-eaten grilled cheese sandwich bearing a resemblance to the Virgin Mary.
Go!
So, you're 6-for-4.
Is there anybody out there that want to challenge me? Anybody out there want to challenge me in the trivia? Anybody? Any Tuesday, call 424-243-9617 or call Rhodes' number at 201. What's the number, Rhodes?
It's 845-279-3356.
Yeah, I was about to give them your house number. If y'all want to call Rhodes, I know you got a lot of fans out there. If y'all want to call Rhodes, her number is 201.
Don't do it. Because I will give them your number, your fans to call you. What do Australians call McDonald's? Do they call it Macaz, McAzzy, McDo, Muckies? What do Australians call McDonald's? Macaz, McAzzy, McDo, Muckies? What do Australians call McDonald's?
Madu.
In Australia, McDonald's known as Macaz not only does it sport a different name, but it also boasts and means tailored to local taste. At Macaz, alongside the familiar favorite you discover, uniquely Australian offerings like Vegemite as a condiment, the Cadbury cream egg McFlurry, toasted banana bread, and the hearty Big Brekkie burger, complete with egg and hash browns atop. Brekkie burger. It says topped with a beef patty. You also find innovative touches like fresh food bars where you can witness your order being prepared, also with enticing display cases showcasing muffins, macaroons, and cupcakes. So in Australia,
I want,
you can get a cupcake at the McDonald's in Australia.
You know what? I wonder if Sneaky Sam's got something like that, because that would be cool.
So huh.
I can see if they can make that for me.
You are 6-for-5.
Let's go.
And we'll give you one more, because time is winding down. So I'm going to give
you one more.
The winning actress has the same last name as the one Tina Turner was born with. What Oscar-winning
Sandra Bullock
has it, what?
Sandra Bullock. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
You are correct.
Let's go.
It says Anime Bullock is better known by her stage name, Tina Turner. She rose to the fame in the 1960s by singing and performing with then-husband Ike Turner. In a 2020 interview, Tina revealed that her former husband picked the stage name when the two recorded their debut single, "Is Fool in Love," in the early 60s. Like, Ike chose the name Tina because it rhymed with Sheena, Queen of the Jungle, the comic book heroine, which I happen to be a big fan of. The duo became one of the most successful musical acts in the 1960s and 70s, releasing hits such as River Deep, Mountain High, and Proud Mary. So you got 7 out of 5 right. You got 7 out of 5 right.
Mix and roll. Let's go.
Okay. Let's see how much time we have left. So we have 3 minutes left. So me going to end the show. We appreciate you for joining us for Six in a Row this Tuesday. And for those who missed the show, you can always play it back because it will be archived once the show is done. And if you have any opinions on what we discussed tonight, you can go to the Six in a Row page on Facebook and leave your opinions there. You just got to let us know what topic are you giving your opinion on. Because we talked about insecurity, we talked about the man who molested the 5-year-old and then killed the 5-year-old. We talked about that. We talked about Baby Booting Good Times as an animation cartoon. Then we did some trivia. Now, like Six said, if you want to join in and battle him in the trivia, we do this every Tuesday, where we do it towards the end of the show. We don't do it in the beginning. We do it towards the end of the show. So if you call in before we end the show, I would say if you call in around 9, like the second hour of the show, then you have time to battle Six and some trivia. And then we can go back into the show. And, yeah. So we appreciate you as always joining us. The next show I have tonight is 11 p.m. Eastern. That's the Indie Experience. The next show on Six Size Radio is Children's Bible Study. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's the number for them to call in, Six?
90 seconds.
515-605-9340. The Six Eyes Radio Network, global, baby. Good night, America.
And at 7, we have the Adult Bible Study. The number to call is 424-243-9617. That's right, and you can join in because both shows are done by Missionary Kids.
60 seconds.
So we are going to say peace, make one sure love. We appreciate you as always. Come join us again for another Six in a Row next Tuesday. Peace, one love, everybody.
Make sure y'all check out Road to Stardom's Facebook page. And go, if you're on Facebook, go to the group, the Six Eyes Radio Network group. America, follow that group, the Six Eyes Radio Network group, the Six Eyes Radio Network group, if you're on Facebook. God bless America. Good night.
Good night, everyone. See you later.
What are you doing on your air? What are you doing on your air tonight?
I'm doing on my air. I'm doing my air. Play music.
You gonna be talking? You gonna be talking?
10 seconds.
Yep. So you want to hear some great indie music? Tune in tonight, 11 p.m. for the Indie Experience. Peace, everybody.
Good night, America.